Hello, everyone, and welcome to the God of War podcast, episode 25. And I am joined once again by Robert Craighead. How are you, my
Great
friend?
to be here, man. Great to be here. Good to see you again.
Dude. I was putting together the social post, right? And I just there was no words. I was like, okay, what do I put in here? How do I describe this emotion that everyone's feeling right now? Because it's like bittersweet. We got to spend time with you. We got to like have a great adventure, but where are you? Like, what's going on? And also my green screen is falling. Yes. See what I mean? Like the effect of you being on the show is just completely destroying. Okay.
I thought that was the design. It looked really good, you know?
Thank you. No, like that's also the first time we've ever had like a giant green screen fail, because like that's literally the effect of you just being this amazing
Boom.
force. So like you've actually destroyed the set. So thank you, Robert. Thanks, Bob.
Well, at least it's blue. I like that.
Oh well, exactly. I mean, we were thinking of doing a competition of who can do the best Brock impression. I obviously that's a 2 out of 10, and you can obviously do better than that, folks. But okay, obviously, as you saw with Adam, I had to pull the parachute of levity sometimes, because the levels of man, there's like legit grief going on for you, like around the world. Like we've reached a certain point with authenticity of performance that transfer from in the volume to the finished animation, where there's actually been studies done of people who have bonded so closely with like fictional characters that it creates that actual mourning. And there's just been across the entire God of War, cosmos,
Wow,
this
I'm touched.
and I'm probably going to lose it at some point in this episode, because it's just, you can't, man, you can't do this to us, dude.
Well, I'm
Like,
not really dead. I mean,
I know, but dude, and that's actually weirdly comforting that there you are. You just said that. So we have Ab saying "oh," and then we have Mai, and I think he's about to say one more word. So this is people in the chat right now losing their minds. Let's start as humans typically start. Robert, how's your day going? How have you been? How does the day find you?
Oh my God, I'm in Atlanta, Georgia right now, visiting my daughter and my two beautiful grandchildren. We rented this house here close by them for the month, so we're here for the holidays, and it's colder than a witch's tit in a brass bra here right now. So
Oh man.
not
Yeah,
sunny
well.
LA, that's for sure.
Okay. Well, even though, and this is the thing, is with Brock, because the mind auto-populates with the adventures of like Brock and Sindri, and then Brock, like there's so much they can do. They're doing a lot of that with Star Wars now, where they're exploring characters who like bravely sacrifice themselves. They're getting their own miniseries like Andor and Diego Luna. So I know that it's not goodbye to Brock. I know. But I don't doubt that. Obviously, Brock would prefer the colder weather, I think. So I think you're.
The winter's
Yeah, that's right. Man, I love Brock, and I love you, man. And there's just lots of love happening right now. In
Oh, there we go. Now I get a hug too.
you got it. Yeah, bring it on, bring it on.
I saw you hugging Adam a lot, so, and I was feeling that brother envy thing, where,
Look, here's the thing. And that's, I'm so glad that you were able. It's Christmas Eve here in Australia, and like
Well,
you can
Merry
just walk around.
Christmas.
Well, no, Merry Christmas to you, and very soon. And there was no doubt that as soon as that beautiful kind of alignment happened with everything, especially just with the tumult. Like honestly, dude, you are part of this renaissance, and this, I would say, similar to what happened in the early 2000s with Lord of the Rings, and like Narnia then came out, and then so. But the reason why this actually won't go the way of that, which is at one point it sort of petered out a bit and stuff, the reason why it's going to be sustained, and I said this to Adam as well, is you have Amazon coming off of Lord of the Rings announcing this live action series. There was a poll done for who should play Brock, right? And it, there's people, like, and obviously you, like, dude, obviously. And
how did I come out?
Well, yeah, number one, of course.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah, totally. Danny DeVito was in the running. I think even Danny would be like, you can't, like, let Robert do it. And because we're in a place now with, I think, Neil Gaiman's Sandman. Danielle could tell you about that too. You know, obviously with the Avatar stuff, talk about Blue, this performance capture renaissance. You are absolutely on the forefront. Like, history will remember Blue December. You know, they will remember Avatar and Brock as these like heart shattering performance capture moments in the medium's art form's history. So we're having fun, we're palling around, and I'm so glad to see you again after a couple of years. But we are also experiencing history right now, and I reflect that as a mirror of your brilliance back onto you, as I did with Adam. Like, I'm just so, so honored and stoked.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Had to be said, you know, man. And it's also trippy because you're like a super grounded and lovely guy. And it's like, you don't have the, yeah, thespian kind of, you know, to
be chill. Well, I am a thespian. Yeah, so.
You are. Sorry.
Yeah, I mean, I come from the theater. So, yes, I've got all that in me as well. But, you know, I gotta be honest, no one was more devastated, I believe, to find out that Brock was about his demise than I was. I was floored. I'm going, what? They took me out to breakfast one morning, Matt Sulfos, and it was like they went over the entire story, and then they got to the part where they told me that Brock had to die. And I know you've heard this story. It's out there all over now about the family dog, but that is literally what was the analogy that was given to me, was that in order to rip the audience's heart out, you have to kill the family dog. And I agreed with them. Reluctantly, I hated to go, but I knew for the story that, and then the performances that came from everyone around my death, I was just blown away. I was blown away. Adam and Danielle and Chris and Sonny, and everyone just gave it their all. And I was very touched and very moved. Yeah.
I am ever the optimist. We are looking at an 100% guaranteed. Everyone's playing coy. You're all professional, beautiful actors and creators. That's fine. There's going to be a next chapter. And there is undoubtedly going to be a journey for Sindri. And I am the optimist. I will say that I've thrown this, you know, Danielle, stone-faced, took just poker, you know. But I said, obviously, the worlds of myth are going to shift because this is the end of the Norse saga. One culture that knows a bit about world's ending are, you know, the Aztecs and, like, you know, like, so Sindri getting this mission to you know, I know that he said it's gone, it's over, but, you know, we just, again, I'm sorry, but your fellow hard ass amazing but also softy on the inside Stephen Lang, he is the test case for, like, a guy coming back blue, right? Literally, if you go see Avatar right now,
right,
you are of the same ilk of thespian, and he got brought back in a major way. So I understand, and I'll, Matt and Corey, Eric, all of these people eventually in the off season, having them on the show. And but I'm just gonna say, you have a warrior right here in Australia constantly.
Oh, blue. Yes,
the heart of God of War is blue. So I will do everything I can to manifest, because that's a fan demand thing too. They can't, if we want it, then,
well, let's hope so. Yeah,
I'll do it.
I'm behind it 100%. Let's make it happen.
Excellent. So you come here, you destroy my set, you break our hearts. What am I supposed to do right now, man? I guess celebrate you, and I guess check in with whatever you're allowed to say in terms of, I'm sure you've been contacted about just this, you know, like, are you looking at further performance capture, performances, after Rock.
Well, they're pretty. You mean with God of War or?
No, with God of War. Yeah. Just in terms of
course, I couldn't answer that question, and as anyone else, they're pretty tight-lipped about what they're going to do. There was some speculations about some different ideas that they were toying around with, but you never know until they make the phone call and say, "Hey, we're doing this," and so. I'm just grateful to have been a part of this franchise for the last 10 years. And it was funny because we literally, Corey Barlog and I saw him at we had this opening release party at the Los Angeles Coliseum for everyone. And if you want to see a scope of how many people worked on this project, there was, maybe 1,000 people at this party. Corey and I were talking, and we realized that it had been 10 years since our first little adventure where we went out in a team building type thing, where we went out into the woods and learned to make campfires and build shelters. it was a lot of fun.
That's awesome. And we have in the comments Sofia Daliana, who is this amazing person from the Avatars podcast side of things. She says, "Brock, so much, so emotional, your journey. We loved you so much." So she's chiming in from Italy. So,
I love you too. And I'm having lasagna for Christmas. So
perfect. Sophia, she was actually while we were doing Avatar stuff, she was like, "That's great, but also I'm playing God of War," and I'm like, "I know, why would you do this?" This amazing convergence of beautifully worthwhile, like, boundary pushing art, and I honestly do see it as a parity. I see the twin endeavors. I see art forms being redefined, and I see performances. I'll just bring it up now. I actually have it right here. In the window, we've obviously upgraded the setup a little bit since we last spoke.
Oh yeah,
this is how she says, "Alberto emozionato che bello che sei," which means me getting like emotional, but Sophia says, "God of War cannot go on without you." So we have to tell Eric it's impossible. It's impossible.
Yeah. I appreciate the sentiment, and if there's any possible way, I'm sure they will try. They will try something to get the Hulser brothers back together in some way, some form, some fashion.
When you said the Hulser brothers just then, again, it just hit my heart because like the brothers, like, oh man, yeah, this is gonna be some waterworks here. I'm telling you. So here is the scene, and I just. Man, it is the nature of the thing that matters, not its form. Before I dive in and like fucking start bawling, has there been anything along Brock's journey in terms of maybe script moments you've had or performance moments you had that have maybe fed into your real life about moving through something, or have you tapped into something? What's that cross section? Did you have any of those moments while rehearsing or on set?
Oh, well, there's always going to be crossovers from your real life, because that's what you're doing, is you're taking pieces of who you are and melding them with this character. And especially over the course of 10 years of working and developing Brock, there's a lot of me in there. So, this scene right here, though, this was, yeah. I get a lot of feedback on this, this line, on Cameo. People are always asking me to say this. Yeah. And, I remember doing it, and it was this whole thing in the bell jar that went down to see the lady. It was all very, very emotional and powerful to me, because it was at that point that I realized what has happened, and it's devastating.
Yeah, man.
And also the fact that I'm trying to understand and come to terms with why Sindri kept this from me all this time. Of course, and then in this part right here, I think I spit on Chris Judge about three takes until I finally just.
For sure, man. One of the main takeaways from me is, you know, my fiance and I, she's actually, you know, self-development, personal development, kind of coach and mentor. And one of the things with Brock is that his psychological complexity, I think his core thing is, and why he has these hard outer edges, it does hide not only a soft center, but a vulnerable center, and one tied into, as Kratos, as all good friends should do, confront you about a self-worth narrative that he has about, like, oh, you know, what, how am I supposed to, what will my blessing matter? But dude, I named this episode A Brother's Blessing for a reason, not just because it's a brother blessing a weapon, but the blessing you gave us and the blessing you gave Sindri as his brother, to be his brother. And also, you know, it's Christmas Eve and it's a time of reflecting on blessings as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, no, totally. And all the, yeah, so we have Abs jumping in here. No, not this scene. It is heartbreaking. So that's Abs making his feelings known. It's,
I am.
Beautiful, Rob. Otherwise, it'll just end up just being an hour or so of just crying on a podcast. So what was your favorite? We can actually skip through the entire performance, as you can see. What was your favorite, one of your favorite scenes to shoot, apart from obviously the blessing of Draupnir?
Well, you know, one of my favorite scenes actually was cut from the final game. And I even asked Eric about it, and Matt and Richard. And I'm like, well, what happened? Why did we lose this? It was my my favorite part. But, you know, in a way of showing, you know, how Brock and Sindri, you know, had this this life together and homemaking and whatnot. And they came up with the idea that Brock would be at one point, the camera's just panning by and I'm cooking in the kitchen wearing nothing but an apron. And you can see my little blue butt shining, you know, then they got rid of it. I don't know, man. It was my first news scene and, It was gone in a heartbeat. They decided not to use it, but I wanted everybody to see my big blue butt.
Robert, we demand yes. Cut. We demand the butt cut.
We want that butt cut.
All right, you are just too much. Yeah, that would have been like the perfect. I think it's an Austin Powers moment as well. Absolutely. Okay. So we have, Johnny the Hustle Puff Russell saying, hi, everyone. Hello, Johnny. Man, feel free. This is Brock.
Hi, Johnny.
There you go. Boom. And he is here. So please, if you have your questions, we got a little noise level feedback because it is, you know, 9 a.m. on Christmas Eve. So I'm going to just go ASMR mode with you and talk through a couple of these. I know exactly. Also, I love Atlanta, and I have to ask you, how is it over there? Like, I love that place. It's Georgia is so great.
Oh, Georgia is beautiful. I mean, I've been coming here. I do a television series here. I've been working with Tyler Perry for six, seven years doing a television series for Tyler, and. So I come here every year to film the series. And then about 7-8 months ago, my daughter and her husband decided, well, he was here working on Black Adam. He's a special visual effects producer. And so he was coming here a lot working on that. And then, you know, Marvel has put in a new studio here called Shrillith. And that's where they're doing all the Marvel movies in Peachtree City. And it's about 20 miles south of Atlanta. And that's where I'm at right now. And yeah, I love it. And, you know, my grandbabies have been here. It's driving us crazy that they've moved from being 5 minutes from our house to being thousands of miles away, that very likely we could be making the transition over here as well at some point. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm actually bringing up for everyone, because it is only the beginning, Brock's journey with, as in your journey with Robert in terms of his over. So I'll just quickly jump on here. So this is an amazing, amazing series that I have looked at clips of, and I need to basically, I mean, we have the holidays now, so I'm just going to make my way all the way through it. It's a fascinating premise as well. And Tyler Perry, my goodness, you know, I love that you guys have that, use that the sort of close collaboration of coming back over multiple years. Yeah, man. So
yeah, I did another series for him called Too Close to Home. And so I did that for 2 years, and then he come back and offered me this role and this new series that just came up. And yeah, I love working with Tyler. Yeah. He is probably one of the most special human beings on earth. I mean, he's generous, very generous, giving.
That's pretty awesome, dude. See, so I know Tyler Perry as I suspect this is you as well. I think that's probably, hopefully I'm not making too big of a leap here, but why I feel like you were open to performance capture is that I think you guys have a shared eclecticism and a shared sense of experimentation and willingness to try new things. And I mean, yeah, that seems like one of your great strengths as an actor, definitely.
Well, the thing about motion capture is it's kind of like I said earlier, I started off in theater, and I went to the American Academy of Dramatic Arts, went through their whole program for 3 years and trained with them before I ever even ventured into the professional arena. And what motion capture does is it takes you back to that very beginning, the core of being an actor, of having to create your environment. Because in a volume, there are no sets. There are not really any props. All you have are the other actors opposite you. And thank God we have such a wonderful cast, because that makes life so easy, so easy. But it's really a lot of fun. And I just really have enjoyed the process so much. I mean, look at this.
Yeah, dude. Yeah, I want to say, anytime I replay or see this again, I rage so hard. Like, how dare you stand next to him? How dare you breathe the same air? And this is just evil, evil.
Look at those eyes.
Now, let me ask, in terms of that collaboration on set, you know, with Richard Schiff, this amazing, and you, Adam, Richard, all of these moments. Was there, I suppose, a moment? I guess, have you ever shared filmographies a little bit? Because you have that sort of crossover with TV. Did you ever cross paths in the past and then say, "Well, hey, Richard, look at us here now in 2022 on a performance capture stage"?
No, I've never. I'd never worked with. And I've been in the business for 40 years. This is my 40th, I'm just finishing my 40th year in the Screen Actors Guild. And now I've just told how old I am. I was three when I started. So, no.
Yeah.
No, but I never worked with any of these people. Richard, Chris, Danielle, Adam, any of these guys. But it's been a pleasure working with them for 10 years, though. Yeah. Fantastic. And Richard was a special treat. Yeah. To be killed by such an iconic actor who's been in the business. There's very few that have been in the business as long as I have, but I think Richard has me beat.
Dude. And What I love hearing about so much is you'll have in the earlier instance, a Robert Craighead, but like, David Harbour for Stranger Things or whatever, like he was in it for a fair amount. And then there's a role that came along. And not to say that you'll forever be known as, I mean, you will, but it is something where the gift of moments like this isn't just to introduce audiences to this performance, but it is to say, look, here's Robert in a visibility and, billboards, everything. Like God of War is this massive thing. It even got a reference in the latest Marvel thing. I think the joke was Dave Bautista's character, Drax, he's taking photos in Hollywood and the person turns and says, "Hey, I got a photo with the God of War." So like Marvel having a dig at themselves. So the game and you by extension have permeated culture to such a degree that not only is it great to see people appreciating your performance, especially, I mean, you, in many ways, you're the heart of this title for sure, but what a great journey to begin on. Like, this is me telling the chat directly, like, it's the holidays, like, not time to crack open that Robert Craighead, filmography and dive in. Do you have any particular recommendations apart from obviously the Tyler Perry works? What's something like a performance you're really proud of?
I would say probably one of the most fun characters that I've played a few years ago. I did a series for Seth Rogen on Hulu. It's still out there, and it's called Future Man. And if you like that, if you like Seth Rogen's sense of humor like I do, I mean, smoke a bowl and watch Future Man.
I like that. That's what I mean. And yeah, I can honestly say, like, from what I've researched and everything, dude, like, you are this kind of nexus of incredible, like, variety. Like, this versatility is just, I think, kind of, I mean, I consider it unequaled. Like, you really do have this sense, and you were so tireless. Like, I don't doubt that earlier when you said, "Well, I can't speak to things," I don't doubt that you have like 50 things going on. So I think I said this last episode too, is that you are goals for me in terms of prolificity and productivity. And you have a gusto about yourself, about your art form. I think that's probably why you've been in it for 40 years.
Well, and then I lost it for, well, I mean, I left the business for about 10, 11 years, and I think I'm more appreciative of coming back and than maybe a lot of other actors who've stayed with it the entire time. Because, you get jaded. I've seen actors get jaded. I always look at it more as like, you're right, the journey. It's all a journey. So you've got to enjoy the ride and don't be looking for end results. I mean, that's probably the most important thing that I could tell young actors that are starting off in the business, because everybody wants to be a huge success right away. And, they want to get to the end result, but what's the most fun is what happens along the way and the people that you meet and the things that you do. It's just, I've been blessed. I've been very blessed. Recently I was in Mexico a couple of weeks ago filming a movie, and right before I came here, and there were very few people on set that spoke English. And even the other actors that I'm working opposite, they weren't proficient in English, but they enough to understand to do our scenes together. but it was funny because the guy I was doing a scene with, somebody said something, and I made some comment in my Brock voice, and the guy I thought was gonna lose it, he went, I knew that voice. You're Brock.
Yeah, dude.
Go to another country and it was a lot of fun to seeing the reaction of everyone when they realized that I was Brock from God of War.
Yeah, man. Well, let me tell you right now, and I said this to Danielle, is in terms of that internationality of Brock of War. See, that was a slip. That was a Freudian slip. Brock of War is something that I now, you are on that echelon to me, which basically auto hires you for Wizarding World. I mean, I got to see you as an Ilvermorny, which is the American Wizarding School. Need to see you as a teacher in that HBO series. Like, would be amazing. Need to see you in, Lord of the Rings, you know? Like, that's falls into place. But the big one for me, for you, is I need to somehow be involved in getting you into Star Wars. Like, you have such a vibe, and you know, Andor, you look like you could have just walked off of the set of some of those classic Star Wars, man. You have a vibe and a gravitas to you. So yeah, those are the big ones.
You know, I was asked to do a role on in the new Star Wars video game. I was waiting. They kept saying, we're gonna do this next week, or you know, we check your availability. And then all of a sudden, it was, I'm like going, weren't I supposed to be doing that this week? I called my agent and she said, let me check on that for you. And they changed their mind. They decided to go in another direction. And I'm like going, what? No, I'm not going to play that game. I ain't.
That's it, boycott. You know what? I'm going to follow this up for you because in whatever ability I can, because we spoke with Daniel Roebuck, actually.
I love Dan.
Yeah. So if you go, I'll just try and find it. As you know, Robert, I'm slowly going crazy with all these podcasts, but I have to do what I can to boost and amplify these amazing performances and people, you know, across these different outlets, man. So yeah, Daniel,
I've done a couple of things for Dan Roebuck. I did a video game, Dead Rising 3.
I'm so excited that so you guys have collaborated. So this is what I mean.
And then we've got a movie that I believe it's available right now out on Amazon called Give Till It Hurts. Yeah, all it's right. A comedy. And it's fantastic in it. Yeah.
All right. Okay, folks, right now, we're going to go Daniel Roebuck. Oh, my God.
Give Till It Hurts. It's hilarious. Dwayne Whittaker from, you remember him from Pulp Fiction.
Dude. So the reason I'm kind of freaking out now is because there goes 2022. I had not, yeah, there you go. Oh my God.
There that's
incredible. Okay. Done. Well, yeah, here he is.
Funny movie. Tom Calloway wrote and directed that. It's a great movie.
Definitely check it out, people. So yeah, this is Daniel jumped on. Like he was actually in the early days of the show, you know? Which is, yeah, I was talking to him about, again, being on that forefront of performance capture, and that's through the Star Wars stuff. Well, you know, he was Grease, this other really, affecting and, you know, almost the heart of the story in his respective game. So Jedi, you know, Fallen Order. But, I'm going to be making follow-up inquiries about that because they can't rob us of Robert Craighead in Star Wars.
Oh, that broke my heart. It broke my heart.
I won't let them. There you go. Also, that's us live right now, people. So share the stream.
Hey, look at us.
There you go. Look, dude, obviously my next question, apart from follow-up roles and stuff, is, yeah, we're human beings first, before we're actors, before or even like family members or friends. And You always have struck me as someone who's like extremely like full of energy and super generous with your time, and it's evidenced by you jumping back on the show. I mean, I have to quiz you a bit about if there was a moment for you along the way where you where that sort of fell into place with you as like, this is the sort of person I am. Like, is there some experience you had or some teachings you came across? Like, you've always like, you're not only are you goals in terms of, I mean, you're dead, like dead handsome, super talented, all of these things, but in terms of your energy as a person, is there some series of experiences or whatever that kind of led you to become this way, and that you could like maybe pass along some of that to people who are still trying to still shaping themselves, so to speak?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I just enjoy what I do so much and have such a passion for it that I mean, we want to entertain people. It's like recently I was doing some interviews and I was telling the story about how I got started in the business. And what happened is my mother, I used to stay up late at night and watch these old black and white movies with my mom. And those times really mean a lot to me now that she passed away a few years ago. And but I remember watching those movies and thinking to myself as a kid, these people are dead. I'm watching these, they're entertaining me,
I
and
know.
they have passed on. And I'm like going, that's what I would like to be able to do. I would like, after I'm gone, to be able to continue to entertain people. So, of course, if I want that in the afterlife, why wouldn't I want it in this life? I want to be a part of your enjoyment and of your entertainment. So by being able to be with you as you enjoy it, that means a lot to me. Yeah.
Well, that stunned me because what a kindred and inspiring answer for sure, man. And I, there is something with when you put something, on permanent tape, or especially now with the internet, where there's all these measures in place to make sure that whatever's put out there is forever. We're not recording tape anymore, and or to cassette, or to actual physical film. It's there's a you're it's essentially a guaranteed, permanent statement of or a chronicle really of a person. And just when you were saying about like, Robbie Coltrane actually, who played Hagrid, he recently shattered a lot of our hearts because he passed, and he was like, Hagrid might not, I might not be here forever, but Hagrid will be, And
Exactly.
that same vibe, and you have that same vibe. But here's the thing: you're actually, all my loved ones are actually contractually not allowed to go into the next life. So I've put these protective charms on everyone that they'll be here forever. So let's not even
Well,
throw this
thank you.
into that.
I hear
All right,
that.
nah, man. I see you in your jacket. I see you like having the energy that would make 30-year-olds blush. I see you. You're unstoppable, dude. Absolutely unstoppable. I'm a big black and white film person. What's one of your favorites? I love
Oh,
asking my voice. That's a classic.
well, right now, I mean, come on, it's a wonderful life. I mean,
Oh.
it's Christmas. I mean, come on, you can't get any
Nice.
better or more classic than that. Yeah, I love Jimmy Stewart. Probably loved everything he's ever done. And Donna Reed reminded me of my mother somewhat. And I decided that's the kind of woman I wanted to marry. And my God, if I didn't wind up marrying a Donna Reed,
Yeah, I see you guys also once again making a lot of even 20 somethings blush. You are killing it with social media, man. You are right on there. I think you've
Really?
really
Wow.
you're re I think you've really connected with Instagram.
Yeah,
Yeah,
but you know what? I
it's awesome.
launched Twitter. I'm like
Oh.
really upset about that because I don't know. It was about right before the game came out, about a month before the game came out, I went onto Twitter and somehow I got locked out and I hadn't been on for a little while and I couldn't get back on. And still to this day, my page is still there, but I can't get in there. So.
All right. Exactly. Come on, like, right. let's repair this. Talking to a person who, like, what is he? Brock repairs your gear. Like, let's return the favor. Let's repair his Twitter account. So I've got it brought up here because we like to get eclectic here. So this got sent to me in the algorithm, and I've always wondered if there was like this is one of my favorites. The shop around the corner.
I love this guy.
There you are. Ladies and gentlemen, permit me to introduce myself. I am Mr. Matuchek of Matuchek & Company, the shop around the corner. Now, if you'll be kind enough to take a look at the window, you'll see that we sell some very nice things. Of course, my shop may be a little far away for some of you. It's in Budapest, Hungary. Just around.
So good. Just the classy. So,
oh, and yeah. It's been made a few times.
Oh, yes, that's true. That's true. But what I want to also say, like, are you ready for this, dude? And hopefully your agent's going to be watching this because of the Topic Podcast Network, that Nexus kind of thing we have our heads on a swivel constantly. And what I want to let your agent know is that we have coming up, directed and show run by the people who did Watchmen, you know, Damon Lindelof and stuff like that. We have The Wizard of Oz. Is being rebooted right now. They're putting it together, and yeah, what's it like?
I would love to be the man behind the curtain.
That's what I mean. That's like, how can, and I, you know, and that's why I brought it up for people. Like, you know, Brock has left that world, but where did he wake up? He woke up in Oz. Right, he woke up in Oz. So
Brock is in the Emerald City.
Exactly. That's exactly where he is. That is the one way to do. So I'm hunting currently. I'm gonna hunt down Eric Williams, and he will stand to task for what he did from a place of love. There's no actual threats. But so this is her. And look, please, what's your agent's name? One of your agent's names?
Gloria Hinojosa, Mike Eisenstadt. Yeah.
All right. Mike.
My manager's Brad Kramer. So
okay. All right, this is what we want to do. She's made, I think, a statement somewhere here. This is the Deadline article. I'm incredibly honored to join Temple Hill New Line. So there's obviously, you know, tap into Bear McCreary, who did the music, who's working with Amazon, which is Lord of the Rings, which is New Line. Like, pull all the strings and get Robert Craighead into the brand new Wizard of Oz.
Wouldn't that be awesome?
Wouldn't that be great? Because
no one's ever attempted to do that. Well, wait a minute. They've done a little variations on it, I guess. But
they have. But that's me. I invariably can't help myself when I bring people onto the show. I put the producer hat on, and I'm like, I could so see you in this and that and that. So because that's the vibe I get from you, man. But I need to also re-extend. I don't know if you had made your way here since we last spoke.
Still haven't made it to Australia yet. No, I want to.
So you don't like us. Clearly,
no, man. I do. I just...
I'm kidding.
We had COVID. This thing came about that where none of us could travel and go anywhere. Yeah. Was that the last time we spoke? Was during COVID?
We talked about it too. It was
because you were locked down solid at that time. Yeah. I mean, all of Australia was horrible,
and it was rough, dude. And I'm obviously, I'm also skirting around, just never wanting to ask the typical things of like, hey, Robert, what was it like working because of, you know, all the different conditions with COVID? Like, you're gonna get that endlessly, and but
well, what actually, we were working on God of War when it all came down, and we were doing mocap, and we had scheduled more shoots that week, and it was just all of a sudden it came across the news that everything was shutting down, and that was it, you know, for, I guess we didn't start back up for about another year. Yeah. You
know? Well, what I'm really glad about is we even had, like, there's been ease of restrictions here. And hopefully, fingers crossed, we can enter this new year. Like, we're going to forever be changed by it, I'm sure. But I think overall, there's been a mellowing towards it. Now we just have to make sure we don't destroy each other with nukes. I swear to God, Robert.
Oh, God. Yeah. No, it's interesting that it's kind of like this. It's kind of take. Everyone has their own personal way that they address COVID or fighting COVID or whatnot, and I think that's the way the world should be about everything. It's like, don't make mandates necessarily. I mean, because I see some people wearing masks here, some people not wearing masks, you know, people don't want to go to crowded places. Some people have to go to crowded places. They thrive in it. So it's interesting to see what's transpired over time. What's it been, 2-3 years now, almost something?
Yeah. That's right.
Yeah. And I made it up right now because my nose is running all over the place.
that was just doing
in the family. My nose runs in the family.
Hey, dude. You're killing it. Oh, that's so good. Why did the Scarecrow win the Nobel Prize?
Why?
Because he was outstanding in his field. We could turn this into just the
pun off to you too. You're a really bad joke.
Bad jokes, dad jokes. But that's the thing. Dad jokes and granddad jokes are the best jokes. The best ones. For sure, dude. Okay, now I have to ask, since we last spoke, which was, so this is episode 25, we last spoke on episode 17, so I just quickly checked, and that was, 2020. Apart from the pandemic, has there been, you know, I don't know, like, I'm so curious about the Craighead house, you know, and the path of the Craigheads, you know? I guess adventures you've been on, countries you've visited, events you've attended, like, what would you say have been some of the highlights of the past few years for you? Just outside.
A few years? Oh, wow. Going down and doing the movie in Mexico recently stands out. And actually, I did another movie in Mexico about a year and a half ago with old friend of mine from acting school, Nick Cassavetes. You may know him from The Notebook, Alpha Dog. He directed all those, wrote and directed those wonderful movies. This one's called God is a Bullet. And so I went down to Mexico City and filmed that about a year and a half ago. And then I was given an opportunity to play the bad guy in this new Western. Well, it's not really Western. It's 1933, and it's set on the border of California and Mexico. And I play this evil landowner who, you know, abuses. I didn't realize this, but there was a huge Chinese population, and there still is, down on the border of Mexico. And
oh, dude.
I had no idea, but they during that time, they used the Mexican people and the Chinese people to work the fields. And then, of course, they revolted against me because I was a tyrant. So, but
that's amazing. Well, another thing I'm going to tell your agent about is we have Rush Hour 4 has just been announced with Jackie Chan and Chris Tucker. Please get Robert in that. You could be such a cool, like, crime lord in, like, Shanghai or whatever. Like, come on.
I love playing bad guys, man. It's, you know, it's so interesting. People ask me how I can, you know, because like in God is a Bullet, I play a redneck pedophile. And
hey, V, bro. No brainer.
How can you do that? How can you? And it's like, you know, you just have to. Of course, it is kind of hard to find redeeming qualities in a redneck pedophile, but I was able to do it.
we're all spectrums, dude, seriously. But so we have Ricky R in the comments saying, the way you made Rock come to life was amazing. He was honestly my favorite character in this new God of War game. He's just great. This is the first game to ever make me cry, and it happened a few times. So that's
Ricky. Thank you, Ricky. I appreciate that. Yeah. I appreciate that. It means a lot to me.
There you go. I was actually bringing up here because I can't be your Oceania region manager, wink, without promoting you. So here is your amazing. You're about, dude, you're close. Almost 5K, dude.
5K. Oh, almost, man. And that's all real. You know, I've always got these people saying, increase your followers and blah, blah, blah. I don't know what that means, but I don't respond. There's my little granddaughter, Daisy, and Lou. Yeah. Oh, and there's the Western that I... That's it.
Yeah,
that's a great
one. Yeah. You're a complete, just like a duck to water, just totally fit into the world. I think A24... You're going to hear from A24 very soon. You have a look and a vibe to you of like, yeah, that timeless kind of quality. I think Robert Eggers, he's doing Nosferatu soon. You know, they're going to bring that one to life again after, you know, Max Schreck and Werner Herzog and all of that. So, yeah, man. This I is you, I mean, guys. Right here, badass. So cool. I love it. And also I want to just say, like, you guys have such a beautiful energy. I mean, honestly, that, hey, Ray and I are just about to get married. Maybe I'll make you roll your eyes. Maybe you can rifle through the advice, you know, satchel that you have, but you obviously are just beaming and radiating as a couple. And any advice?
38 years. Yeah. 38.
There you go. Well, actually,
she's a very patient woman. That's what you need. You need to find someone to be patient.
Patience. So that's your advice. And actually, at some point, it would be great to have her jump on the show as well, so like, we can see you guys.
Sure, she would love that. Mm-hmm. She went over to my daughter's house. While I was doing this, and I'm going to follow over whenever we wrap up here so that I can help put the little kids to bed.
He does the amazing narration for Never Have I Ever, which is one of Ray and I's favorite shows. I'm also thinking, and he loves Rage Against the Machine. Like, you guys are too much. You guys are actually too much. Do you play tennis?
I was walking through the gym and I go, and I'm like going, you gotta fucking be kidding me, McEnroe.
That's amazing, dude. No, I'm stoked on that. And yeah, that's okay. So obviously we have some tennis activity coming up for you. I'm serious, dude. Like, this is,
I don't know about that. I just noticed another picture I'm working, I'm in post-production. That's another thing that I've been doing. I've been producing a new film, and I kind of took over the post-production of it about 4 or 5 months ago, and we almost have it wrapped, and I'm looking for a special effects guy to do a little special effects thing for me.
Which one?
What's that? The movie's called Lucy's Last Song. It's a short film that's beautiful. It has original music, original song by there is an original song Rodney Thurman wrote that we've recorded, and then John Pratt has scored the film. And yeah, there you go.
Boom. Lucy William, Platt. My middle name. There you go.
Yeah. Beautiful. Yeah. It'll be out sometime, or be hitting the festivals, hopefully end of January, February, something like that.
There you are. Fantastic. Yeah.
Good vibes, man. I play mean air guitar. Yeah.
You do. My dad bought me. It was just a he bought me an air guitar, and it was just a little piece of plastic in the shape of a guitar, and I was like, what do I do with this, dad? Like, seriously. But dude, also, by the way, and again, this is, maybe I'll make this because we're coming up to the hour, my last message. So Top Gun 3 is happening as well, that's confirmed. Miles, you are 1,000,000,000%. You have that like military, like just like no nonsense general kind of. So yeah, let's get you in there.
Top Gun. Come on, Tom. Actually, my manager, he handles Ving Rhames, so he does business with Tom Cruise quite a bit. So
yeah, maybe we can work. So it's if these. Because podcasts are just energy. You put that out, and then who knows, that energy snowballs, avalanches into something. Yeah, man, absolutely. So, buddy, I am being pulled, literally. There's the old vaudeville style. They're calling me to Christmas Eve stuff, but can I please give you a big hug? I have to bring it in, a gigantic hug. Like, listen, dude, it is just the beginning. We may have, for now, said bye to Brock. For now in God of War, but in terms of you and I across the whole Topic Podcast Network, you know, we do the Star Wars podcast, the Lord of the Rings podcast, the Wizarding. So it is absolutely the beginning of all that. And I fully will manifest you being in all of these worlds. And I'm just so stoked to see your star continue to rise. It's just a great pleasure. And I consider you like an e-friend, electronic.
Absolutely. And I look forward to coming there. And if you get ever to LA, you better call me, okay? Because we definitely have to go out and have dinner and show you the town. Yeah. Meantime, you give your family my best and wish everyone a very Merry Christmas and happy holidays to you all.
Thank you so much, dude. All right, everybody. Robert Craighead, right here. You can find him, Robert_Craighead, on Instagram and everywhere. And yeah, I love you, man. Take it easy. Have a good rest of your day and year. Bye, everybody.
Bye.